97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on this Thursday morning. We are trying to keep track of what's going on in Florida. That storm has moved off the coast now, it appears. And we're getting some of the first daylight visuals of the damage that was done down there with, winds are still at 60 miles an hour in some places on the east coast of Florida. And we're starting to see what damage was done in Sarasota and Tampa as this thing moved through over Orlando, where one Carl Middleman's daughter was sleeping in her dorm last night.
Yeah, she was.
How did that go?
It was fine. They had a party and they put together a puzzle.
Kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? College students had a party. Somebody pulled the fire alarm, tried to get them to go outside. Never fails.
Now, I don't want to accuse anyone of pulling the fire alarm. Maybe the alarm went off because there was a big old storm going on.
Or maybe they were partying and somebody thought it would be fun to pull the alarm. That's never happened.
I've never done that.
I had a college party. I've never done it either, but it sounds like that could have been what happened. There are some reports of deaths this morning in some parts of Florida. I'm sure that as the day goes on, we'll get more of those. If we get any updates from down there, we'll bring those to you during this hour. Coming up, we got Jim Talent. I want to talk more about how maybe some of these storms might have an impact on the election and to a greater degree what the two different how there's so much space between what the White House claims and what we're actually seeing on the ground in parts of North Carolina and Tennessee and Georgia. And I'm anxious to see what Jim thinks about that, because obviously the White House wants you to think it's all politics at this point. I don't think that's it at all. Next hour, Shannon Bream, Griff Jenkins. And there's a great event going on to support the Alzheimer's Association out in the Defiance area this weekend. We're going to get you information on that if you'd like to take part. Should be a beautiful weekend for all of that. First, though, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
My fellow Americans, we're now in a time of the darkest plague ever. And our chance, our only chance, is this November to vote for the President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, for 2024.
John Voight, the actor, speaking out, saying, you know what? You're hearing a lot of noise from my comrades down here in Hollywood. Here's my truth.
In St. Louis County, one voter told us how long it took her to get through the ballot.
About 45 minutes. It was a long ballot, very long.
There you have it. That's why we have the voter guide, ladies and gentlemen. There's complicated issues on the ballot. It's not a matter of just going in and clicking a couple of boxes. When you vote, it's going to take you a little while. Download the voter guide and know what you are in for these statewide amendments at the very least.
Planned Parenthood is closing two of its St. Louis locations next month. On November 1st, the location in Florissant, North County, and the location on South Grand in the city will close.
Yeah, how about that? Planned Parenthood apparently not thriving these days. Maybe they're just waiting for the outcome of the next election. I guess that is altogether possible.
People want to do disinformation, misinformation, which is dangerous.
And it is the height of irresponsibility and, frankly, callousness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So lives are literally at stake right now.
It's the end of democracy. Does any of this sound familiar? Lives are at stake. Well, it's un-American, the president said this morning, for anybody to question the FEMA response to these disasters. We're in the middle of silly season in America right now if anybody listening to the sound of my voice was politically aware during Katrina back in the early 2000s, you know that they vilified George W. Bush. They wanted to run him up a flagpole because they claimed he didn't do enough and didn't have enough trailers in place. And, you know, poor people were sleeping in the Superdome and they got flooded. And why didn't he evacuate them? And blah, 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 blah. Of course, it was all his fault, not the governor of the state or the mayor or anybody like that. It was all on George W. Bush. He didn't do enough. But it's misinformation if today you say the Biden-Harris administration did not do enough in the aftermath of Helene. And my guess is they're trying to overcorrect that for what just happened in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong.
I really think that they were caught off guard. They weren't prepared. And now they're just doing damage control, basically.
Well, like Sean Hannity pointed out, when all this went down, when we first found out about the storm, Joe Biden was on vacation on a beach. And Kamala Harris was too busy out doing interviews with Who's Your Daddy? What was the name? Oh, Call Her
Daddy.
Well,
now she's getting slammed for being on Stephen Colbert and drinking a beer. So they're saying, she's out there drinking a beer and other people are, you know, have nothing left of their homes or anything, cars.
This thing has fallen flat. The media blitz by the Harris folks, it's just fallen flat. And you know what didn't happen? You know what didn't help yesterday? Did you hear what happened? During a fundraiser in Liberal California with Gavin Newsom, the energy in the room was all pretty progressive. So Tim Walz let one fly. And when he did, it got recorded by the media, not recorded, written down. And now it's making headlines this morning. And the Harris campaign is running the other way from her running mate. If you missed this, it wasn't a televised event, but people in the audience reported what happened. Here is Fox reporting on what Tim Walz, this so-called middle-of-the-road normal guy from Minnesota, called for yesterday with Gavin Newsom.
Get rid of it. He called for the elimination of the Electoral College during a fundraiser in California at Gavin Newsom's home in Sacramento. Walz saying, quote, "I think all of us know the Electoral College needs to go. We need a national popular vote, but that's not the world we live in."
That doesn't surprise me. It shouldn't surprise anybody.
Hillary Clinton called for it. All of these Democrats called for it because they know that for the last several cycles, the Republicans have lost the popular vote nationwide. But that doesn't matter because you got tens of millions of maniacs living in these populated areas in California and New York, and they're all in for Hillary or, in this case, Kamala, and they're going to run out and vote, but they can only give so many votes to the Electoral College, and they don't think that's good enough. Mm-hmm. So they don't care why the Electoral College was put in place. They don't care. They don't want middle America to have a voice. They don't want smaller states to have a voice. They want raw majority rules in the presidential race. And when our founders set the country up, they knew that was a recipe for disaster. They knew that to maintain this union, each state would have to have a voice in who was going to become president. That's why it's made the way it's made.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like it.
Yep.
And I think they're panicking a little bit because they see what's coming. They once again think Kamala Harris might win the national vote and lose the election, just like 2016, and they're starting the calls now. Now, the Harris campaign immediately backtracked and said that does not reflect what Kamala Harris thinks. It did 4 years ago, but it doesn't currently. They didn't say that, but we know that.
I don't think Kamala Harris knows even what she thinks. She had that weird hot mic moment yesterday during a Hurricane Milton briefing where she covers her mouth and she's like, it's a live broadcast. And then, 5 seconds later, she asks a question. So now people are wondering, was the person talking in her ear feeding her that question?
Somebody in the room was feeding her questions and she had to cover her mouth and say, it's a live broadcast. She didn't want them to be able to read her lips, but you could hear what she said.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was on the mic. It's been a bit of a disaster. James Carville's in a little bit of a freak out mode. I'll play that for you coming up here a little later. But I wanted you to hear what Walz, actually, she said the quiet part out loud yesterday. They want to ditch the Constitution, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. There's a whole bunch of things they'd like to change if, as John Kerry said last week, they could just gain control. Scary stuff. Coming up, we'll get to Jim Talent. Want his take on the debate over misinformation in hurricane coverage. We'll be back in just a minute.
Democrats accuse of something of being misinformation if it reflects poorly on Democrats. That's usually a pretty good working definition. The simple fact of the matter is that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democratic governor of North Carolina were overmatched by events here. They were caught flat-footed. Joe Biden was vacationing in Delaware. Kamala Harris was off holding glitzy fundraisers in Hollywood. And they didn't react immediately. When it was clear that this hurricane hitting in the Appalachians in northern Georgia and western North Carolina and eastern Tennessee would require a different kind of response than it would in coastal areas.
Former Senator Jim Talent on the phone with us this morning. That was Senator Tom Cotton there, Jim, kind of pointing out that it was misjudgment, not misinformation. What's your take on the White House saying that anybody criticizing them right now is un-American? I heard Joe Biden say that yesterday.
Oh, that I had not heard. Well, good morning, Mark and Kim.
Yeah, good morning.
Tom is exactly right. Senator Cotton is. And boy, I always love listening to him. He goes right to the heart of the matter. So when something like this hits, the responsibility of a leader is, if you're in the chain of command, as Governor DeSantis said, is you have to immediately prioritize doing everything you can to help, which means, among other things, you know, communication, staying in touch with other actors, governors, mayors, et cetera, and also with whatever part of the government you own or control that is supposed to respond. If you're not in the chain of command, then what you have to do is provide whatever moral support you can. If you're innovative enough to rally support, private support for people the way Trump is doing, that's fine. Other than that, you encourage people. What you cannot do is make it all about you, okay? And as DeSantis said, and I don't even think he was being partisan, he said that she is making it all about her. Now, Biden was late to the game, but I think at least in the last few days, he's trying to do what he can in his condition. But she's making it all about her, which is wrong, and also it's just very bad leadership in politics.
Well, you know, I've several times this morning made the point that when George W. Bush supposedly mishandled Katrina, they vilified him for it. I mean, they brought up race. They claimed it was because he didn't care about New Orleans because, you know, it was predominantly a minority city and all of this stuff. Right. And as John Kennedy pointed out, the senator from down there, there were 20,000 United States troops and 350 military helicopters called in to assist after that. And the response to Helene has been far less than that on the part of Joe Biden, but somehow it's not fair to criticize what that response is.
Yeah, I mean, which is you're un-American if you criticize the effectiveness of the government. I mean, that's how America was formed, because we criticized the government we had then, right? I mean, the whole thing is just, it's not playing well, and I suspect that's what causing this panicked response is the politics of it.
Yeah.
I don't even like asking this question, because obviously the number one priority is saving lives and getting people back up on their feet who have lost everything. But with the election 25 days out, what kind of impact do you think this could have?
Well, again, it shows. Look, the Biden administration has pursued policies which were far left policies and were just the wrong policies, even if they'd been competently executed. The other problem, though, is just a vast and almost inexplicable incompetence. I mean, we saw this in Afghanistan, right? I mean, you can argue about whether we should have withdrawn, but I mean, they couldn't possibly, I mean, you've had to plan, one would think, to do it that badly. And so, yes, it's very much an issue.
Well, I mean, even getting to the ballot box to vote could be an issue this point. Then prepping the ballots is what I worry about.
Right. And that's going to be an issue for the local and state authorities to deal with, Kim. My gut is, and I'm not an election clerk, okay, my gut is they have enough time that if they make it a priority that we can minimize the effect of that. But, yes, that's going to be a problem. And who can blame people who are worried about losing everything, including potentially their lives or the lives of their friends, for, you know, not prioritizing whatever voting procedures they're able to put in place now? But I think, you know, we're still again, my gut is they can probably fix that, particularly in the states with really competent leaders like Florida. And I think most of these states are pretty well led.
Yeah, that's what I worry about the most, Jim, is not anything intentional that makes it harder for these people to vote, but just the fact that it happened and they're struggling with where they're going to get their next meal, voting probably tends to be a low priority at that point. So
right. I would think so. But I think most people understand the importance of the election and are going to make an effort. We're not, if we were in the middle of this, that's not the question you would be asking. You guys would be doing, you know, your part as public influencers and members of the media to try and help people. But, you know, that's a natural question to ask, particularly if you're not in that part of the country.
Yeah, that's a good point. Jim Talent, have a great morning, my friend. Thank you.
Same to you guys.
Absolutely. Take care. Former Senator Talent there. Yeah, they got a mess on their hands. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do in parts of Appalachia where roads are washed out. People are going to have to need assistance to get to the polls. Depending on what they're going to do here, I just don't know. It's certainly something we need to talk about and not just stop talking about it because the left tells us it's misinformation. It's not. We're going to be back. We still got Kim on a Whim coming up. Stay tuned. Happy birthday to David Lee Roth. Carl Middleman has fixed us up with some fantastic bumper music this morning.
70 years old.
Woo! Too bad he can't still sing like Sammy Hagar.
He has, and Sammy's older.
Yeah, Sammy's 76, and David lost it a long time ago. On that last tour, he couldn't hit the notes anymore. Anyway, the cradle did rock, for sure, for a lot of us, thanks to him. Hey, listen to this. I mentioned this during the Jim Talent interview a few minutes ago. What Joe Biden said yesterday about anybody that criticizes the government response to a hurricane. Now, bear in mind, again, I'll bring up Katrina because it's the greatest example I can think of. They told you George W. Bush was a racist, all for pure politics, and hated the black people in Louisiana because he didn't do more when Hurricane Katrina hit. And it was all crap. Everything was there. Everything they needed was staged ahead of time. And it was completely mishandled by the governor and the mayor of that city. But it all got hung on George W. Bush. The Democrats vilified him over that. Listen to what the sitting president of the United States said yesterday in response to anybody who's critical of what they're doing on Helene or now on Milton.
Care of ourselves. But it misleads people. It puts people in circumstances where they panic. Where they really, really, really worried. They think we're not being taken care of. And it really is, it's going to sound, I'm using an old phrase, it's un-American. It really is.
It's un-American. It really is.
I mean it.
Come on, folks. Yeah.
I mean it.
It's un-American for you to dare to question your government. It is American to the core.
I was going to say,
for you to question your government.
We the people.
Thank you.
Our Constitution.
These Democrats are such hypocrites when it comes to this. I mean, particularly after what they put Donald Trump through when he was president, and what they'll put him through again when he gets reelected. They're in a little bit of panic mode on the left. The Harris campaign is panicking because of Joe Biden, because they don't want him to be out speaking because they're afraid that it reflects poorly on them. But they don't want to criticize him at the same time, right? And then this media campaign that they've embarked on this week, right? Colbert and The View and Who's Your Daddy? Call Her Daddy. All of these things have been a big flop because, once again, even with creative editing on the part of 60 Minutes, Kamala Harris gave word salad answers and no specifics, proving, once again, she doesn't have a clue. People like James Carville, the Raging Cajun, is a little worried about all this. And he wants her to stop doing interviews now. He's like, listen, we're 20 days out from the campaign. She needs to shut up and quit taking questions. Listen,
Only thing I feel is the election's coming November 5th. I'm scared to death, and I'll get a time to, you know, obviously.
You're not in a reflective mood.
Not in a particular reflective mood right now. I'm very, very concerned. And very
what does Harris need to do with the month left?
All right, 7 months left. Let's start. We've got 26 days.
Yep.
Today is gone. You're going to lose 4th of the hurricane. Just subtract that. We're going to get blank. You're not going to be able to get much out for the next 4 days. So, and everything kind of shuts down to Saturday before the election. So you're really probably under 20 days that you have to really get a message out. They need to be sharp. They need to be aggressive. They need to stop answering questions and start asking questions. They're doing all this and sitting down with 60 Minutes and sitting down with Colbert and sitting down. No matter what, if I come on your show, you're going to ask me the question.
That's true.
If I have a press conference, I get to ask the question.
You'd like to see her do more press conferences?
I'd like for her to put more things in place.
So he doesn't necessarily want her to do more news conferences because that would be a disaster because people would be shouting questions at her. She needs to ask more questions. I don't even know what Carville's talking about. I don't know if he is. He's panicked, and he doesn't want her to do any more. Even these softball interviews are completely backfiring because she's incapable of forming a thought.
Well, look what happened when she went on The View. Denny Hoskins, or what? Sunny Hoskins, or whatever her name is.
Denny Hoskins is going to hate you for saying that. Sunny Hostin, right?
I hope he happened to be listening right now. Sunny.
Sorry, Mr. Secretary. Soon to be Mr. Secretary.
She said something like, what would you do differently, you know, compared to how Joe Biden ran things? And she's like, I can't think of a single thing. So even that softball question, she wasn't prepared for.
She blew it.
Did you see there's a number one bestseller book on Amazon right now that's called The Achievements of Kamala Harris, and it's blank inside?
Yes. I've got a copy of that with Barack Obama's face on it.
That's
it's not
hilarious.
A new idea, but it's brilliant. So you might ask yourself when I tell you that she's clueless and you shouldn't vote for her, there will be people out there on the left who would say to me, well, Mark's a misogynist. He just won't vote for her because she's a woman, which, of course, is utterly ridiculous, completely ridiculous. There are several women I can think of that I would vote for president. I'm never Nikki. I don't like Nikki. But I don't like Nikki because of her policies. And I didn't dislike Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. I disliked her policies. I didn't dislike Barack Obama because he's black. I disliked his socialist policies. For conservatives on this issue, it's not gender identity. It's not identity politics. That's not it. But guess what? If you are paying tuition to the University of Kansas, you need to understand the kind of drivel they're driving into the brains of your children. There is a professor out there named Phil Locock is his name. And he's getting a little bit famous today because he said this. Play 10, Carl, please.
Guys are smarter than girls. You got some serious problems. It's what frustrates me. There are going to be some males in our society that will refuse to vote for a potential female president because they don't think females are smart enough to be president. We could line all those guys up and shoot them. They clearly don't understand the way the world works. Did I say that? Scratch that from the recording. I don't want the deans hearing that I said that.
Yikes. I think a woman could be president. I just don't think the right person for the job is Kamala Harris. It's not my reason for not voting for Kamala Harris isn't because I don't think women are smart enough.
Correct.
It's because I don't think that she's capable of it. I don't think she has any of her own ideas. When people ask her about her policies, she can't explain them.
And it's weird in today's politics completely that we even have to say that. I don't care what gender, color, I don't care what you are. I care about what your policies are and what they're going to do to this country. But back to Professor Locock here for a minute. Professor Locock is on administrative leave while the University of Kansas investigates what he said. But Professor Locock is not going to be fired. This is what you need to understand. They're not going to fire him. They've already released a statement. that he was only expressing his support for women. They're defending the University of Kansas, which if you're a Mizzou fan, you hate for a lot of reasons. But if you are a parent of a student going to Kansas, understand that these are the liberal professors teaching your children every day. How many snarky comments like this have been made that didn't get recorded and gone viral? And the university is defending what he said, that people, students, should literally be stood up and shot if they vote against her just because she's a woman. That could be the only reason they would vote against her. Not that she's a complete numbskull, right? She and her running mate, complete numbskulls, but vote for us anyway. Don't mind the fact that we'll control the nuclear codes. We're just numbskulls sometimes.
I'm a knucklehead.
Knuckleheads. I'm sorry. Did I say she's a knucklehead. I had the wrong N word. Numbskull instead of knucklehead.
Both
Shame
are
on me.
Great words.
Yes. Both are very descriptive words because they describe. Meathead is another one.
When's the last time you've called someone a meathead?
That's a good question. I've called Rob Reiner a meathead on many occasions because he was the original meathead. Am I correct about that, Carl?
Yeah, well, technically Archie was the original meathead. They called Archie that in high school, and that's why he started calling his son.
And just
that.
To remind you, when he said
me.
It, you are a meathead, dead from the neck up.
It's a good day when Mark
meathead.
Brings out one of his accents,
that's
you know?
That's a meathead.
That's a pretty good
that's
one.
That's an Archie
it's
Bunker.
Of Carol O'Connor. Yeah,
meathead. And John Kennedy always loved it, too.
Mr. Comey is a meathead.
Is a meathead.
I called him a butthead.
I think I called him a butthead, and I meant it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've called someone a butthead since I was, I don't like 12.
Knucklehead, meathead,
and
butthead.
We have a potential future vice president saying, I'm a knucklehead sometimes.
A knucklehead.
That's why I speak out of terms and lie about where I was. I'm a knucklehead.
We're getting to Kim on a whim when we come back. What are we talking about?
All right, before you take a bite of Frosted Flakes, do you know what's in it? What's in a lot of the food that you eat that maybe is in your fridge or in your pantry? We're going to talk about that.
Don't you ruin my Captain Crunch. I love that stuff.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
How many of us really take the time to look at the ingredient list on the food that we're buying? Because more people are waking up to the garbage that's in there. These artificial dyes, these chemicals that can cause, I mean, I'm talking tumors, asthma, ADD, ADHD, depression, anxiety. I could go on. And a lot of these are banned in other countries, but somehow the FDA here in the United States thinks it's completely fine. So this woman who goes by the Food Babe on social media, highly recommend you follow her. She started a petition that she plans to bring to the Kellogg's headquarters in Battle Creek, Michigan on October 15th, which of course is next week. And she has about 200,000 signatures. I myself have signed it. And she's calling on the company to remove the artificial food dyes. She said they promised they would do it back in 2015, that they would remove them by the end of 2018, and they didn't do it. And not only that, but they also are coming up with these boxes on Frosted Flakes or Fruit Loops that maybe you had for breakfast this morning or fed to your kids, and they have Baby Shark or the Little Mermaid, something that, you know, would be very appealing for the kids. And that's obviously very intentional.
Yeah.
But if you look at the ingredient list on the foods that you might have in your pantry, go look for things like red 40, blue 1, yellow 6, red 3. It is yellow 5. It is in so much stuff. In fact, I had Chex Mix yesterday that I got from the vending machine here at work, and I just flipped it over to look at the ingredient list, and the very last one says, aside from all the words I can't pronounce, which is a red flag, it says freshness preserved by BHT, okay? That's on a lot of labels, and that is butylated hydroxytoluene. It is very toxic for your body. I mean, this stuff is used to make, like, used or made rather from petroleum, and we're putting it in our bodies, and we wonder why diseases have been skyrocketing here in the United States.
My Captain Crunch has BHT in it. I just looked it up.
Yep. Just assume that anything that is not a normal color, like your cheddar and sour cream chips, your Gatorade that you want to give to your kids after they've played sports, sprinkles, those popsicles that try to claim they're all natural, if it's not a normal color that you would have for that food item, you might want to read the back because it probably has one of the artificial food dyes. And again, it is not good. And I'm so glad that RFK Jr. and other people are speaking out about this.
I hope people are waking up to it, Kim. I do. And certainly, if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is in charge of, like, the FDA or even the senior advisor to Trump, you're going to be hearing a lot more about this if he's in that position.
I hope so. Go sign this Kellogg's petition. Hold him accountable.
Another reason to vote on November 5th. Because that can make a huge difference in the health of a lot of Americans. Next hour, Shannon Bream. We'll talk to her about her Tim Walz interview. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.